Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Artists celebrate summer and capitalize on opportunities to take canvas and brush out of doors to paint under the sunshine. The 9th annual Paint Out is presented by the Harvey Dunn Society in DeSmet. It's scheduled for August 11th through the 13th. Steve Randall has been with the festival since its inception. He joins us now on the phone from Sioux Falls. Steve, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. It's a beautiful day to go outside and paint, at least last time I checked. It, though? Are there certain conditions that make painting out of doors better or worse, other than, you know, hail and rain sort of being a downer?
Well, when you get together for an event like this, you kind of plan for all conditions. Take along your bug screen and your sunscreen and your bug spray and your hat, and just plan for any type of weather.
Tell me about the event itself. You've been with it for some time now. How did it get started, and how has it changed over the years?
Well, it kind of started with some folks here in DeSmet. Dr. Robert Bell and his wife, Phyllis, were the original board members and got the event going, along with Pete Killian from Northern State University in Aberdeen. I kind of helped out with that a little bit to start with back in the first event. Harvey Dunn Society was established in December 2008. They're a nonprofit group, but they do promote and advocate Harvey Dunn's works of art and his love for the prairie there in DeSmet.
This year, new changes. One of the things is a children's plein air art. Is that correct? Plein air? Is it plein air? I can never remember.
yeah, plein air is a good way to
All right.
say it.
Workshop for kids.
Karen Kinder from Brookings, an art teacher, is planning that or organizing that at the event here this weekend. It'll be the first time we've done that. We've had a lot of interest from families and children and families in the event in the past, and we thought, well, we'll make it special for them.
What are some of the fundamentals that, kids will learn, but even adults who maybe want to give a plein air painting a chance? What do they sort of need to know before heading outside with art supplies?
Well, I think just don't be intimidated by the great outdoors. A lot of people think that, oh, I could never go outside and paint, but you sure can. It doesn't take a lot of supplies if you got a good sturdy chair and a board to put your paper on, or canvas and some paints. You can go outside, find something to paint. And what you learn is by observing nature, just what you can record in your painting to tell somebody else about what your experience was.
How do you select a good spot? There's so much to choose from outside. How do you sort of narrow that down as an artist?
Yeah, I've heard it said, go outside, turn around three times, and then paint what you see. is kind of a good way to put it. There's so many things that you can focus on. You don't have to paint everything. You can focus on one or two things. It could be as simple as a flower in a garden, or it could be a landscape, including trees and hills and hay bales and whatever else might be out there.
What do you?
Some people like to include buildings in their paintings. So we get barns and sheds and maybe historic structures in downtown, like DeSmet has a number of historic structures that would be interesting to paint and include in your painting narrative.
What do you learn as an artist? What's in it for the artists themselves other than potentially a great result? What do you learn about the process of painting when you take everything outside?
Well, I think you learn how to be selective. So many things outside have stories to tell. Maybe in an old building or a barn door or something, you see something in it that, there's a story there somewhere. And somebody might know that story. I've painted landscapes where people see it at an art show and they say, well, I know that place. I've had somebody say, my son-in-law proposed to my daughter at that location, and it's a falls, out in the Black Hills someplace.
Right.
And so then they get attached to that painting through what's been painted, and a lot of times they'll purchase it and make it part of their life.
If you're just tuning in, my guest, Steve Randall, artist, and we're talking about the 9th annual Paint Out. It's presented by the Harvey Dunn Society. It's happening in DeSmit. Starts August 11th through the 13th. We'll put a link up on our website online. You can also find it at DeSmitSD.com. More information is there. And Steve, I'm wondering if we might transition a little bit as South Dakota Public Broadcasting gets ready for the documentary event, Ken Burns and Lynn Novak and the Vietnam War. And if we could talk a little bit about your service in Vietnam as a combat artist. Is that okay with you now?
Sure, that's fine.
Give us an idea. 1966 is when you go in. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was drafted.
And did you know right away that you were going to be on a combat artist team, or how did that transfer from the moment you're drafted to the moment you find out what you're going to be doing?
Well, I went to basic training at Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri, and then Fort Lewis, Washington for advanced infantry. But then I was sent over to Germany to be in a military police brigade, 15th Military Police Brigade, and while I was over there serving my time, they were going to probably be sent over to Vietnam. And I thought, well, I'd rather go over as an artist than as part of the military police brigade. And so there was a program that was advertised. If you applied for the program and competed with other artists for a position, you could be included on a team that would be sent over to Vietnam to record events. And that's kind of how it got started. I applied and was selected and was sent over with team number 7. I think there were a total of 8 teams that were sent over, 5 soldier artists on each team, and then completed my work over there and then processed out in 1969.
Tell me what that work was like on a daily basis. What were you charged with capturing, and what materials were you using?
Well, in country over there, we used our sketchbooks and journals and cameras to record on the spot things that were happening quickly. And then we were given time to go back to a central base to process film or to finish up sketches or to do further drawing studies. And that was part of a 60-day tour in Vietnam. After the 60-day tour, they sent us over to Hawaii to finish up our artwork, to provide finished paintings and finished artwork to the Department of Military History.
So what kind of images did you make during that time that, you know, sort of endured and ended up, you know, going through the full process of a finished painting?
Yeah, well, it's a variety of things. We weren't really censored in any way as to subject matter or how it was presented. I sketched everything from, oh, say a boy carrying his brother on his back down to the local market, or some people sitting in the local market selling goods, or a farmer out in the field with his water buffalo just working during the wartime. But I was also sent out with various units into the field on missions that did include combat missions, and I was a part of that. And some of those paintings were included then in the final product sent off to Washington. But all of the sketches, photographs, journals, and finished paintings became part of the Army art collection at the Center for Military History, and constructing a museum right now to put it all together and display it all at once. The museum should be completed here in 2019.
What kind of reception did you receive from fellow soldiers? Did they have an understanding of what you were doing and what your role there was?
Usually going out with a unit, they accepted it because it was assigned and somebody had told them that, okay, you're going to have an artist going with you today, and just to let them know that that was going to happen, because although I was a soldier artist, I was just one additional person that was involved in whatever they were doing, and they maybe were a little skeptical at first. One platoon I went with was ambushed, and I had to fight with them. And at the end of the day, one of the soldiers said, "Why? I appreciate your help today. I understand a little better what it is you guys do."
Hmm. Did you find that you had to keep a distance between yourself and the soldiers you were with, or did that not really exist? That boundary wasn't there?
No, there wasn't any boundary. In fact, some of them even welcomed the fact that I was there sketching or taking notes or photographs. Everybody wants to have their moment in history, if you will, because they understood that that's what was happening.
Are there images that you made that still really stick with you that affected you as an artist and as a person?
Well, I think so. There's a number of them. The one I just talked about is certainly in there, and then the aftermath of that. But, you know, the water buffalo and the farmer struck me as an important image to convey to the historical review of things going on. The fact that the local population had to survive and continue working to survive, and even though there was a war going on, he was going to get his rice planted in the field and harvested. And, we were just there, and they would look at us as we went by, probably wondering what was going to happen next.
Was that, you said there was really no censorship. Was that pretty much up to your artistic eye then, sort of like we were speaking before about, you know, turning around three times and picking something? Was that, were those decisions that you made?
Yeah, that's they left it up to us to record it and decide what to paint and what story to tell. Mm-hmm. Every painting had a story, and usually the journal would support that, whatever it was. And so I would try to, you know, pick important things that I thought would show the history of the conflict and possibly, you know, educate somebody else as to what was really going on.
How did it change you as an artist, that experience?
I think it helped me, especially in plein air work, to focus on the real story. You know, the real story of 47 Chevy sitting next to the road between Lead and Deadwood with a bullet hole in the windshield. Mm-hmm. There's a story there, so I painted it. And somebody might know the story, but I recorded that for people to see and judge for themselves.
Do you have a sense of the legacy of, you know, through talking with other people your age who went through Vietnam, either as soldiers, as military service members, or at home working in the arts? Do you have a sense of what the legacy of Vietnam is in the state?
I think so. At least personally, I feel that I have a sense for the importance of being able to record the stories and events of whatever is happening for whatever reason, regardless of politics or popular opinion. There's things that are happening that are going to have happened in history and be recorded in books and specifically in artwork. The artwork being something that's going to be in museums, and museums that people go to in the future with families and kids and students and future artists who want to see exactly somebody's interpretation of what happened, and if that coincides with their personal feelings about that. That's what art has always been, you know, whether it's Picasso or Harvey Dent was a combat artist in World War One. Hmm. And a lot of his paintings are in the South Dakota Art Museum in Brookings. Every once in a while they have a special show of that work, along with his other work, his portraits and his "The Prairie Is My Garden" kind of things. And that's the special thing about the DeSmet event, is that you get to kind of relive that heritage of Harvey Dunn.
Hmm.
And as a combat artist, he learned enough about what he liked to do to be able to include it in his future work.
The 9th Annual Paint Out is presented by the Harvey Dent Society in DeSmit, August 11th through the 13th. Steve Randall, thank you so much for your time and sharing some of those stories with us today.
You're very welcome.